Please start over.
You can listen to the recording, yeah.
So that's all 12, huh?
That's no, nine. This is number 9. Yeah, there.
Karaoke time.
I'd like to say, kind of a corollary to that is, what you resist persists, and that if there's something that you don't like, but you give that a lot of thought energy, it will stay there and be a thorn in your side, which is kind of like what we're talking about, like somebody in our past that we don't want to hear about, but even an idea or a theology that we don't like, but if we keep thinking about it and keep putting that mental thought energy into it, it's still going to be there for us.
Yeah, what's that thought that the people quote, me thinks you resist too much or something like that? How is that word? Yeah, me thinks you protest too much? Right.
But that's a different thing. That's because somebody secretly wants something, so they're against it too much.
Yeah, but that's still a flow of thought. Being for or against anything is... what we want to do is take thought and have the thought flow in the direction to fulfill our desires, not in the direction against our desires. And to do that, we want our thoughts to bring into our lives good people that will assist us, that we like, that we enjoy working with, and to eliminate those that we don't want. And like I say, the way to do that is just to kind of put your mind in a state like they do not even exist in your memory, you know, as if they're wiped from your memory. Sometimes that's hard to do. I've done that with several people and pretty successful, and then every once in a while the thought pops back in and I have to kind of neutralize it again. It can be done, and the way to do it, like I can't remember who said it, I think it was Ed, was to take one. If you have a difficulty of keeping the thought out, is substitute it for something else. So if you say have a thought of you thinking you're going to come down with cancer or something, think substitute it with a thought about good health, running along a beach, feeling healthy or whatever, or substitute it with thoughts of positive health, so that you're not even thinking of your fear of a particular disease or whatever.
That gets you to the power of visualization.
Yeah.
Yeah, visualization is good because visualization is also focused thought. To visualize yourself in the situation that you want, that's desirable for you. Visualize yourself with good friends. If you're looking for a mate, visualize yourself happy in a relationship. Energy follows thought, but it's not always easy. I mean, just thinking about something a couple times won't do it. You have to have a sustained thought and then proceed physically in the direction of that thought, and it will give it tremendous power to materialize. Okay, any other comments on this key? Yeah, Curtis?
Well, the other feminine energy that helps the creator manifest his vision or his thought or his idea.
Come over here.
Belief. We have to believe something can happen. Like, we have to believe that we could double the amount of people in this room. You can create a vision, and you can have passion behind it, but it can be an impractical thing too. But if you believe that it can happen and you focus on that feminine aspect of belief, I think that really empowers your thought.
Right, and belief is kind of like taking thought beyond the limitations of time and space. Because belief is like taking that thought and stilling it down so that you can focus on it, give it more energy to materialize. Okay, any other comments? Well, we will proceed on to the next key. The next key number 10, deals with forgiveness and negating guilt. Both of these things are solved in a similar way. To be able to forgive people and to be able to negate guilt. Because if you have a problem with these two things, you're going to have a problem with just about everything in your life. If there's somebody that you cannot forgive, then it produces a negative current in your energy field. If there's something that you did that produces guilt, then the same thing. It produces a blockage between you and your soul. So let's talk about forgiveness first. When Peter was curious about this, because Jesus kept teaching about forgiveness and how important it is, so Peter comes up to Jesus and he says, "All right, Jesus, how often should I forgive? Should I forgive somebody 7 times? And after 7 times, that should be enough, right? Then I can, like, punch them out? Because they're just beyond forgiveness if I have to forgive them more than 7 times. And what did Jesus tell him?
That's 70 times, sir.
Right. He says, no, that's not the number. He says, you're supposed to forgive 70 times 7. So what was he really saying when he said that?
Limitless.
Yeah, in other words, it's unlimited, because 70 times 7 is a pretty big number, so it's a number bigger than we'll have to forgive anybody in a lifetime. So basically he's saying you forgive always, in every circumstance, every number, doesn't matter. Why is forgiveness so important? Let's suppose that somebody has an accident and he killed somebody close to you or injured somebody close to you, and it was his fault. Okay? Why should you forgive that person? Why not just get the pound of flesh out of him? Yeah. Why is that negative?
Because on a larger level, it prevents the good from working out. Because it holds things back from, you know, restitution could be made or good works could be done going forward, but it sort of concretizes it on a certain event, which is analogous to matter.
Okay. Any other comment? Yeah.
When you don't forgive someone, you're essentially giving up your sovereignty to them. You're essentially saying you have control over me, instead of just giving that up and letting them have it.
Good point. Any other points?
Well, what you criticize another for, or what you don't forgive another for, you'll wind up doing that same thing yourself.
Okay, that's a good point. Anything else?
You create a cloud between you and spirit and soul.
Okay, that's a real important one, Nazov.
What do you say?
You create a cloud
between yourself and your soul. Yeah. Is there anyone here that can give us an example in their life of something that was really hard for them to forgive? I'm sure there's going to be somebody.
I do. It's kind of super personal.
Go ahead.
Kind of super personal, but I was raped in college, and it was super bad. It was really violent, and oddly, I was able to forgive him completely, presuming I know what forgiveness means. I presume it means you're not holding on to any more negative energy from the situation. And people have been just super shocked that I was able to forgive him. But for some reason, I was. I didn't hold on to it. It didn't bother me. It doesn't bother me now. You know, things that have happened as an adult bother me with different people, but I don't have any hard feelings for him whatsoever.
That's great. And you had something horrific happen to you, yet you were able to forgive, and so it no longer bothers you. That's when you know you really forgive, is when it no longer bothers you.
I don't know how to do that anymore, but back in the day I did.
Yeah. You might have read recently Sirhan Sirhan, who killed Robert Kennedy when he's running for president, was recently granted parole, and Robert Kennedy Jr. and one other son of Robert Kennedy accepted his parole, and I guess they have visited with him in prison and forgiven him. Of course, there's also conspiracy theories around that, that he didn't really do it, too, so I don't know what the kids believe, but you hear stories like this, where somebody kills somebody's spouse or mother or dad, and they forgive him. Now, Ron Goldberg's dad, O.J. killed his son, boy, no way he's going to forgive O.J. He wants a pound of flesh out of O.J. And I kind of admired him for standing up for his son, because O.J. did deserve some justice meted out, but he really cannot stand O.J., and he's probably going to have a hard time forgiving him, and probably have to meet him again in a future life. But that was an interesting case.
Well, all you can do if somebody like shoots your wife, for example, it's not an accident.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a heavy burden. All you can really do is say, the judgment is mine, saith the Lord. You have to just kind of give it to God and let karma take its course.